A beautiful garden bloomed in the land of Eden, planted by God Himself. The sparkling river that flowed through it watered the plants and the trees that grew there. In this garden, God placed His children to care for it and to live peacefully alongside Him forever. But because they brought sin into this paradise, God banished them from Eden and sent them into the wilderness to work the land. And God cursed the ground and caused it to bear thorns and thistles, yielding food only through man's physical toil and hard labor. Though they no longer lived with Him in the perfection of Eden, God never left His children. He saw their struggles. He heard their cries. And the Lord said, I will restore the land. I will cause rivers to flow on the barren hills and springs within the valley. I will turn the desert into pools of water. The dry earth will be glad and the wilderness will rejoice and burst into blossom once more like a glorious garden.
Come rejoicing, sing Hosanna, the Lord of Zion.
The poor and the needy cry out. Let those who thirst come, and I will give them water. Their deserts will be like Eden, and their wastelands like gardens of joy. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing will once again be heard in Zion.
Thank you.
harvest, the land became fruitful. He watched over it and watered it continually with his blessing. No longer was the land called desolate. What had once been a dry desert, God's perfect blossom, the rose of Sharon, began to grow. Out of the slumbering earth, the slender stem took root. Those who were weary from their labors found rest in this new promise of life, their parched spirits renewed by the water that sustained it. Fragrance permeating the air, the news of the rose spread quickly wherever he went. By the time he reached the city of Jerusalem, crowds began to line the path, waving palms and laying branches before him. Hosannas rang through the narrow streets as the people pressed closer to catch a glimpse of the one named Jesus, the one they called the Messiah.
Thank you. and sing aloud Hosanna. Shout to God with the song of joy. Shout to God, sing aloud Hosanna. Glory to God, glory to God.
Although large crowds followed the rose, the piercing eyes of his heart always saw the individual in need. The disciples at times rebuked the clamoring throngs, but the rose was filled with compassion. He lovingly revived the weary, healed the broken, and breathed life into the dead. With a gift for teaching truths, he summed up his ministry with two basic commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Touched by his wisdom and humility, the flower of hope had begun to bloom in the hearts of the people.
Oh, God.
Blossoming admiration of the people, seeds of discontent had been sown among the religious and political leaders. Realizing that his popularity was growing, the chief priest plotted to uproot the rose. His remaining days short, he retreated to a moonlit garden for solace. Although he longed to have the bitter cup of sacrifice removed, he prayed for his father's will to be accomplished. And there, among the trees and flowers, the noble rose bent over in sorrow and wept. Thank you. temple guard arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest for questioning. At daybreak, he was taken before Pilate, who was the Roman governor. Knowing that the priest acted out of envy, Pilate planned to punish Jesus to satisfy them and then release him. Now it was the custom at the Passover to release a prisoner of the people's choosing. Pilate therefore put the matter before the people. Choose Jesus, who had committed no crime, or choose Barabbas, the obviously dangerous criminal who was in prison for murder. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd's emotions. The welcoming cries of Hosanna were now faded, and the streets echoed with shouts of, "Give us Barabbas!" Astounded, Pilate asked, "And what shall I do with the one called Jesus?" To which the frenzied mob thundered, "Crucify him!" Inside the praetorium, Jesus was stripped and mocked. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, put a purple robe upon him, and struck him repeatedly. When they were finished, they put his clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Outside the city, they nailed the robe to a cross and planted it on a hill called Calvary.
We have no king, 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 no
beaten and bruised, his beard plucked out. The rose bore no signs of beauty. He was a sight to be pitied, turned away from. His head, still adorned by a crown of thorns, bled, the drops falling like crimson petals upon the ground. Outwardly stripped of his dignity, with great effort, he summoned his fading strength and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not understand what they are doing." The last scarlet petal fell, and the rose lay twisted and dead with the cruel embrace of the thorns.
Oh.
Those who loved the rose placed him in a garden tomb. After the Sabbath, they came to anoint his wounded body with fragrant spices and ointments. But the stone that sealed the tomb had been rolled aside. Peering within, they found his body gone and feared it had been stolen. Sitting inside the tomb were angels who asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples." With great joy, they shared the miraculous news. Death had given birth to life. From the path that led out of Eden to Gethsemane, and finally a garden tomb, God's perfect paradise was restored. The Rose of Sharon blooms once more, filling our hearts and lives with the sweet fragrance of forgiveness, so that we might live with God in the garden forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. I hope that you know that Lord who is risen. If not, our altar is open. It is open for any decision that anyone would make to follow that Lord, that Savior, that one who affirms life for us and within us as we stand together and as we sing number 365, Alleluia, Alleluia.